and welcome to this episode of the Kate Bush Radio Show, where we talk about the songs of Kate Bush and we play them. It's been a while since my last episode, and I apologise to any of those who checked in to the WordPress page and wondered when there was going to be another one posted. I'm sorry it's taken so long. It certainly was not my intention, and I hope that I'll be able to put them up more regularly in the future, because I've got lots more planned. So, as you know, every episode of the Kate Bush Radio Show has a theme. Because, of course, Kate Bush writes so many songs about so many different areas of life. And today's theme is Kate Bush songs which discuss social or political issues. So it's quite a serious, perhaps, subject we'll be discussing tonight. Now, Kate Bush, when people think about Kate, well, they don't think about her as a political songwriter, really. If anything, they perhaps, if they don't know Kate Bush all that much, they would think of her as a personal writer, someone who writes about interpersonal relationships, someone who writes about mythological themes, mystical themes, romantic themes, but certainly not someone who had a contribution or made a contribution to the discussion of political issues or social issues. Those kinds of thoughts would be reserved for artists like Bob Dylan or Midnight Oil. Others who produce anthem songs, campaign songs, songs with a defined political message, songs with a defined political or social leaning, which attempt to very self-consciously affect the outside world and affect change in the outside world and in the mind of the listener. Now, Kate Bush certainly doesn't write those kind of songs. But what Kate can do that many of these other artists, don't do is to inhabit convincingly an individual perspective, the life of a person and their experiences, their feelings, their voice, their story, in such a way that we, the listener, are able to be drawn in and understand their world in a way that we couldn't have come to from a campaign song. From the inside, to my mind, Kate's songs allow us listeners to emphasize with the people in these situations much more than any overtly political or message-driven song ever could. So I'm going to start us off with a song which is one of my favorites from the Dreaming album. The Dreaming, of course, was released in 1982, and the song is the title track, The Dreaming. And in this song, Kate sings about the effect which colonization had on the indigenous inhabitants of Australia. She wonderfully conveys the conflicting and overlapping worldviews of the settlers and the indigenous inhabitants, such a clash of cultures, of civilizations, if you like, which occurred. And she does this in an ingenious way through both the lyrics and the arrangement of the music. Of course, the name of the song, The Dreaming, is part of the poetic spiritual beliefs of the Australian Aboriginal peoples. This song is quite complex, and it requires a lot of listens to really tease out all of the elements. The song starts with a car screeching and a bang. And we hear a voice in a broad Australian accent saying, "There goes another kanga on the bonnet of the van." And we get this image of a settler or a farmer or a miner rollicking across the barren landscape in his van, dust flying everywhere, wildlife bouncing off the rhubarb at the front. Then another voice cuts in. Perhaps it's a heavenly voice. Perhaps it's the voice of the landscape. Maybe it's the sun. And it sings, "See the light ram through the gaps in the land." It sounds redemptive. We have an Aboriginal chant spelling out the word dream time. And it sounds a bit like da 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 ra 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 ma 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 da 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 spelling out dream time. In fact, you'd be lucky to know it's there because the word is embedded, it's hidden. It's hidden amongst sounds of the landscape, birds, a cacophony of percussive sound, the didgeridoo, giving us the impression of something eternal, something natural, something ever-present, something just below the surface. So the contrast between the Aboriginal chant at the chorus and the Anglo verse, it gives us the different ways of viewing the land between the existing tribal society and the new settlers who are looking to bend the environment to their will. The structure of the song mirrors this differing relationship to the land. So, for instance, in the Anglo verses, you have the vocal sitting on top of the music. It's distinct from the music. It's given more importance than the music. But in the Aboriginal chorus, the vocal and the music are one, intertwined. So here we have this parallel between the way that the English settlers viewed the land as something to be dominated, controlled, something of less importance to them, and the way the indigenous inhabitants of the land viewed it as part of them, as something which was intertwined with their lives, of something eternal. In her way, Kate is quite scathing about the genocidal treatment of the Aborigines. She says, "The civilized keep alive the territorial war. Erase the race that claimed the place and say we dig for ore. Dangle devils in a bottle and pull 'em from the pull of the bush." Of course, referring to the tactic of forced settlement and plying indigenous people with alcohol so that they'd become attached to alcohol and more malleable. Okay, time to play the dreaming. I just note one more thing. At the end of the song, you'll hear some words spoken in one of the Aboriginal languages. It sounds a bit like Ore mi kaina. Well, those words are from an Aboriginal song called Airplane, Airplane, which was about the incursion of Western technology on their traditional lands and the way of life. Now, if anyone can translate it for me, please get in contact. Now, here's the dreaming from the Dreaming album.
Mistaken for a tree, till you're near him on the moon away, the tree begin to breathe. Coming in with the golden light in the morning. The territorial war. Erase the race, the claim, the place, and say we dig for ore, or dangle devils in a bottle and a push him from the pull of the bush. You'll find them in the raw hole. In the raw hole. In the morning, with no warning, we bring in the rigging. Ding, 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 ding. for a mummy, an aborigine's mistaken for a tree. You near him on the moon, away the tree began to breathe. Raise the race, the claim, the place, and say we dig for ore. Dangle devils in a bottle and a push them from the polar bush. Goes another kangaroo on the bonnet of the van. You find them in the roar.
Wow, I notice something new every time I listen to that song. And I was just thinking about how that, come in with the golden light. It sounds like, do you receive me, you know, over a walkie-talkie or to astronauts in space. It's like the connection is that the sun coming in and making a kind of communication or forming a kind of communication with the earth. I'm not sure. What do you think? Did you hear some of those features which I mentioned? Could you even make out the because it's so buried in with the sounds of animals and the percussive sounds that it's almost not there, but it is there. And you know, signals the way in which the dream time is embedded with the land in Aboriginal culture, and the Aboriginal people themselves are part of that system. How different a worldview from the Anglo worldview, which came and interrupted their lives. Now some other little things to note about that song. The didgeridoo was played by Kate's good friend Rolf Harris, who of course is an Australian entertainer. Also, the percussive rhythm of the song is inspired by one of Rolf Harris's own songs, a song which he wrote back in 1962, which was called Sun Arise. Now, I'm going to play just a little bit of that song, Sun Arise, to you, because we've just heard The Dreaming. And if we play a little bit of Sunrise now, you'll be able to hear that bit of a connection between Sunrise and The Dreaming. What inspired the rhythmic percussive beat of The Dreaming? Here we go.
The skirts all around. Sunrise, she come with the dawning. Sunrise, come with the dawning, spreading all the light all around. Sunrise on the kangaroo. Sunrise,
standing in you all around. Thunder rise, filling all the hollows. Thunder rise, filling all the hollows, lighting up the hills all around. Thunder rise, come with the dawning. Thunder rise, she come every day. Thunder rise, bring in the morning. Thunder rise, every day. She drive away the darkness.
So first non-Kate song. Non-Kate Bush singing song that we've played on the Kate Bush radio show, but it's in the service of a Kate Bush song, of explaining a Kate Bush song, so I think it's okay. But could you hear that very strong relationship between Sun Arise and the dreaming? Of course, the complexity of the dreaming, in my view, is far and beyond, but you could hear that rhythm. And also, the sun arise, the meaning of the sun coming in the morning. So, thank you, Rolf Harris, for inspiring Kate Bush to create one of my favourite songs, The Dreaming. Now, The Dreaming, when the song was released, many people didn't quite know what to make of it. In fact, the whole album, many people didn't know quite what to make of. It was the first album that was totally produced by Kate alone. And to many, it seemed a departure from the more melodic piano-based stylings of previous albums. And in fact, many of the singles on The Dreaming failed to reach the top 40. But as time has gone on, I think the stature of The Dreaming has really risen. As an Australian, it really amazes me that somehow, from a recording studio in England, Kate's managed to capture something of the experience of being in the Australian outback. Its vastness, its beauty, and its dangers. Also the clash of cultures, which is Australia's history. To put the song into perspective, it was written by Kate in the early 1980s, after she'd read a book about the Australian Aborigines. Now, listening to the song now, some might regard aspects of it as perhaps naive. But it's worth remembering that back in 1981, 82, when it was recorded and released, while there was an active movement for Aboriginal rights here in Australia, it was still not widely understood or recognised by non-Indigenous Australians. And it probably had very little awareness in the UK. So it shows something of Kate's independence, her artistry, that she would write something about Indigenous Australians, despite the fact that many in her British audience wouldn't know or perhaps care much about it. As an artist, Kate has never played it safe. The next song I'm going to play is also way ahead of its time. Released in 1978 on her second album, Kate's Kashka in Baghdad is about a homosexual man from the Middle East living in England with his partner. Actually, this would still be quite taboo for some people. It's a mysterious sounding piece which conveys the relaxed happiness of Kashka and his partner from the perspective of a young girl who longs to be in their company. Here is Kashka from Baghdad from the album Lionheart.
Kashka from Baghdad lives in Sydney City with another man, but no one knows who. Old friends never call them, so wonder if life's inside at all, if there's life inside. The lady who rents their room
Don't you love the dramatic change there from verse to chorus? If you were, you know, thinking that you had a bit of a lullaby coming along, a nice piano, soft piano song, you get a bit of a shock at the chorus, but it's so exciting, so fun. That's Kate being a little bit of a, perhaps peeping Tom, watching Kashka's window, thinking, looks like they're having much more fun over there with the music and good times that I'm having. Okay. Our next song is a real treat. Okay. It's the first of Kate's collaborations with other artists that we've played on this show. And it's certainly the most widely known. Now, one of Kate's friends is the musical artist Peter Gabriel, who, of course, is very talented and accomplished in his own right. Peter actually wrote the next song, so again, technically it's not a Kate Bush song, but her contribution is so integral that I think it's pretty important to include it in any Kate Bush compilation. The song is called Don't Give Up. And it's about the experience of an unemployed man during an economic depression, possibly the Great Depression. But the theme is as relevant today as ever. Of course, what has happened since the financial crisis. Peter Gabriel sings from the perspective of a father, the family breadwinner, crumbling under the stress of not being able to find work. Kate sings as his ever-present, ever-supportive wife, giving him a message of hope. In Kate's transcendent voice, the message goes beyond the song and becomes a message to us, the listener, to keep going when we feel that we just can't go on. Let's see if it has this effect for you. It certainly does for me. Here is Don't Give Up.
strong. We were wanted all along. I was taught to fight, taught to win. I never thought I could fail. No fight left, or so it seems. I am a man whose dreams have all deserted. I've changed my face, I've changed my name.
Thank you.
That is a song about hope. That is a song about redemptive love, which could so easily be a different song, a song which was hopeless about someone who can't find work, about people stuck in the margins, stuck outside society, but it's not. Kate's voice is redemptive. Kate's voice is the voice of, just simply the voice of hope, and it transforms the song. And of course, wow, you can really see why Peter Gabriel and Kate Bush might have so much in common, because in that song, like Kate's own songs, a landscape is created. The opening bars of the song, there's already an atmosphere. They don't have to describe it to us in lyrics. We can see the landscape. We can see the world that the song is set in. Great song. And I especially like that sort of groovy part at the end, which gives the feeling of, you know, marching forward, I guess. Steadily going forward, going ahead and not giving up. All right, so the next three songs I'm going to play are all about the same theme, the same social issue, the same political issue, yet they all have a very different take on the issue, if you like. They're very different from each other, and each in their own way offer a particular, unique perspective on an inexhaustible topic, and that topic is war. The first song is rather a jaunty piece set to a waltz, which gives it a surreal, unnerving quality because the subject matter is so profound. The theme is the waste of young life that occurs in war. Kate sings about a mother whose son is in the BFPO, which means British Forces Posted Overseas, and is killed in war. She goes to the aerodrome to see the decorated coffin brought in and wonders what he might have been had he had more opportunities. Kate is alluding in this song to the fact that military recruits have often been drawn from low socioeconomic groups, people who've had more limited backgrounds, less access to education, less access to money, less access to privilege. Here is Army Dreamers from the Never Forever album.
Stop.
That really is an anti-war song, a powerful anti-war song, if you follow Kate's line of thinking and think about all of the things that the young soldier might have become, but never had the opportunity. But now he's mummy's hero. Gone. I might read a couple of lines just to demonstrate really the way in which Kate hits home about the waste of young life that occurs in war. She says, "Give the kid the pick of pips, and give him all your stripes and ribbons. Now he's sitting in his hole. He might as well have buttons and bows." Pretty powerful. You might also have noticed the use of the cocking of a rifle as percussion in that song. Now I'd like to contrast Army Dreamers with another song about a British soldier. This time our soldier is a fighter pilot who flies a black Spitfire plane. This tells us something. This tells us that the song is set during World War II, when the Spitfire was very strongly associated with the British resistance, especially during the Battle of Britain. And in this song, our fighter pilot has died. He's hurtled to the ground. He's been shot down. But his spirit is preparing to leave, saying goodbye to his homeland, England. And as he does so, he thinks of England, the homeland he loves so much, and his childhood. This is one of my favorite songs by Kate, because it is a tender description of real patriotism and love of home, rather than some kind of nationalist fervor. This is about the genuine love of home that has inspired soldiers to put themselves in very dangerous situations and ultimately often sacrifice their lives. From the Lionheart album, here is "O England, My Lionheart."
O England, my lionheart, I'm in your garden feeding fast in your arms. The soldier's open, the war is over, the air it shelters, the blooming clover. Peter Pan steals the kids in Kensington Park. You read me Shakespeare on the Rolling Tones. That old river poet that never ever ends. Oh, thumping hearts, hold the ravens in, keep the tower from tumbling. Give me one kiss in apple blossom. Give me one.
Did you notice all the English references in that song? The Peter Pan sculpture in Kensington Park. Shakespeare. The Raven story by Edgar Allan Poe. The infamous Tower of London. Perhaps that song means a lot to me because I grew up in England. And those are things which I missed a lot when I left. But perhaps Kate loves England too. Lastly, a very different perspective on the experience of war. Kate watched a documentary by an Australian cameraman who went on the front line during the Vietnam War, filming from the Vietnamese point of view. She was amazed by the methods used by the Vietnamese fighters to evade and ambush the Americans, who had superior military might, but were much less familiar with the terrain. It inspired her to write our next song, Pull Out the Pin. The song itself is written from the perspective of a Viet Cong soldier, which is interesting for us, of course, because as an audience, we're used to hearing the stories told from the perspective of the American soldiers. I'm thinking of movies like Full Metal Jacket and Platoon. Pull Out the Pin includes some interesting details about the Viet Cong, which are really worth listening for. You'll hear Kate mention My Silver Buddha and With a Buddha on My Lips several times in the song. She's referring to the fact that the Vietnamese soldiers often had a little Buddha pendant on a chain around their neck, which they could hold in their mouth, so that if they were killed, they would die with a Buddha on their lips. Also interesting in this song is the way that Kate conveys the foreignness of the American soldiers and how strange they must have appeared to the Vietnamese with their vastly superior weaponry, their indelicate way of moving through the forest, the smell of their cigars. Listen for this lyric. Who needs radar? We use scent. They stink of the West, stink of sweat, stink of cologne and baccy and their Yankee hash. That paints a picture, doesn't it? Pull Out the Pin, the title of the song, refers to the grenade which the Vietnamese soldier is holding in the song. He's watching the American soldier and wondering about what the American's life must be like back home. If perhaps he has a wife. He says the line, I look in American eyes. I see little life. See little wife. And for me, this is where the pathos of the song lies. Because though the Vietnamese soldier sees the humanity of his enemy, perhaps in another time or place, he would even have liked to have met the guy. But on the battlefield, these sentiments are trumped by self-preservation. He finally decides, just one thing in it, me or him. I love life, so I pull out the pin. Here is Pull Out the Pin from The Dreaming.
Behind, you could tell Papa what he won't see. He's big and pink and not like me. He sees no light, he sees no reason for the fighting. With my silver bullet, with my silver bullet, oh, I have not seen his face till I've only feet away. Unbeknown to my prey, I look in American eyes. I see little life, I see little wife. He's stuck alive, but someone in me. With my silver bullet, my silver bullet.
Something happens in that song at about 2 minutes in. It's after the second chorus, I love life, so I pull out the pin. There's sort of a slowing down, and we hear a whirring of helicopter blades, and there's a, well, it sounds like human voices, but it's sort of stretched, it's muffled, it's as though the grenade's been tossed and havoc has ensued. People are running. In my mind, I can imagine destruction, screaming, hiding, people injured, and the helicopter coming to rescue the wounded, to perhaps shoot down on the area where the grenade came from. Suddenly, from quiet, from apparently nothing, sudden activity and all this imagery which comes from just the sounds which Kate weaves into this song. So I think that's a striking example of the way in which Kate sings from the perspective of an individual, shares with us their thoughts, feelings, their humanity. And that's why, as I said at the start of this episode. For me, Kate Bush's songs are much more powerful and much more affecting when they do look at social and political issues than any song which carried an obvious message would have, because we're allowed into the humanity of the subject of the song. And I hope I've persuaded you that Kate really does take on some pretty challenging subjects, some pretty tough subjects. I mean, we've had, you know, a song sung from the perspective of a member of the Viet Cong, and we had a song about the Australian Aborigines, and we had a song about a young man killed in action as a soldier. These are not the usual fodder for a pop song. Even a progressive artist, a progressive rock artist, would generally steer away from these kind of themes, but not Kate. She takes on whatever interests her, whatever moves her emotionally, that is what she'll take on, and she doesn't shy away from any topic. There's a quote which I found from an interview which she did in 1985, where she says, "My motivations are not social or political. It's an emotional motivation, where I'm so moved by something that I have to write. And I think it's that emotional connection to the material that makes Kate's song so compelling for all of us." So that concludes this episode of the Kate Bush Radio Show about Kate Bush songs featuring social and political issues. I hope you'll join me, Angela, for the next episode. Thanks again. Bye.
And you, huh? You do, huh? We let it in, we give it up.